Apple's phone drama puts other tech companies in a nasty little spot. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. You have heard the news about Apple's latest shot in the legal fight with the FBI over the San Bernardino killer's iPhone. Apple's new filing calls for reversing an order, forcing it to make custom software for the feds. It is a legal story with a lot of business angles. One of them involves the position this puts other tech companies in who have been both friends and foes of Apple in the past. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here. So, Mitchell, where's the rest of the tech world on this?
Well, except for some supportive tweets here and there, Apple CEO Tim Cook has seemed to be pretty much alone fighting the Justice Department for his company's right to make and then not be forced to break strong data encryption. But now we have Google, Facebook, Microsoft, also reportedly Twitter, preparing to support Apple's hard line with briefs to the judge. Now, these companies just as often meet in court as foes. They fight over patents and operating systems, and also they fight to get customers and advertisers. But here they clearly have a common cause, and that's to protect and redeem the reputation of U.S. technology around the world as clean and absolutely trustworthy as they face a world of hackers, cyber thieves, and also governments that want to control information and suppress dissent.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In the UK, shares up 1.3%. In Germany, shares up 2%. Asian markets closed mostly up. The Senate's in agreement on providing $250 million to Flint, Michigan, and other cities facing water system problems. The vote to make it happen could come as soon as next week. All this highlights the reality that Flint's water crisis is definitely not unique in America. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington.
The bipartisan Senate deal includes funds for drinking water emergencies, plus money for health programs and loans for long-term fixes to community water systems.
Well, we never want to be ungrateful for any kind of support we can get.
Kelly Brumbelow teaches civil engineering at Texas A&M, and there's a but with that statement.
Just in the state of Michigan, there's an estimate of over $13 billion in water infrastructure needs for the next 20 years.
Not to mention the hundreds of billions needed for the rest of the country.
The public has spoken loud and clear.
Rodica Fox is with the U.S. Water Alliance, part of the Value of Water Coalition. That group just finished polling Americans on this issue.
They're ready and willing to invest to ensure safe and secure water service, so we hope that public officials will step up.
95% of respondents said it's important to invest in water infrastructure. 60% are willing to pay for it with higher water bills. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Think about the best and worst bosses you've had. Fortunately for a lot of people, it's easier to come up with the negative examples. Sid Finkelstein is a Dartmouth business professor who tries to change that. His latest book is Super Bosses: How Exceptional Leaders Master the Flow of Talent. He looks at what they have in common across very different industries, finance, sports, tech, and others. Managing talent is a pretty common topic in the business world, but he's found some things that are pretty surprising. Sid, welcome back to Marketplace.
Nice to talk to you, Mark.
So there is a lot of discussion on retaining talent, hanging on to great people. So one of the most striking things in your research is the pattern of these super bosses, as you call them, not always keeping the great people in the company. Talented people leave them, but in ways that actually work out well for those bosses and also the employees. Explain what's going on there.
I think if you really think it through, you realize, look, if the world has changed and people are not going to stay for a very long time in most jobs, then the only question is, are you going to be strategic about this? Are you going to look for opportunities to actually benefit by managing the flow of that talent, including leaving the organization? Look at Lorne Michaels, you know, from SNL. Of course, it's been a revolving door of superstar talent, but who's on late-night TV? People like Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, both of whom worked for Lorne Michaels at SNL. And who's the executive producer? Turns out it's Lorne Michaels.
Now, we talk a lot about Marketplace, about the business cases for diversity. What have you learned from the managers you talk to about how to put together a diverse team?
They're all about talent. These super bosses want to have the world's best talent, and that actually increases the odds of having a diverse team. People like Bill Walsh, former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, created the first development program for African-American assistant coaches. And why did he do that? Of course, he cared about the value of diversity, but he also saw an untapped talent pool. And that was a talent pool that was long overdue in becoming head coach in the NFL. You have somebody else like Jay Shiad from Shiad Day in the advertising industry, and everyone knows Mad Men and what that looked like. There weren't that many women that were running advertising agencies. Jay Shiad said, women are a huge untapped opportunity and market for us. Why wouldn't we try to attract and create opportunities for women? And that's what he did.
And you've talked to people that are basically at the tops of their fields in a lot of different industries, but what advice do you have for people that are, you know, not necessarily running a company, running their own business, but trying to put together a diverse team and trying to, you know, find people in unusual places? How do you do that just at the typical management level, not necessarily at the top?
What superbosses are they're big talent spotters. And who can't do that? Wherever you're going, you're at a restaurant, you're meeting people at a party, have your antenna up for potentially great talent. And then you gotta have a bit of a leap of faith. And that leap of faith means don't just rely on the job description. If you find a great person, create the opportunity for her or for him, and that's what superbosses will do. Anyone could do what I just described. It's not really rocket science when you get right down to it.
Okay, the book is Superbosses, Sid Finkelstein. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And finally, SeaWorld says it's getting out of the spy business. The company now admits to doing what animal rights groups have long accused it of, hiring people to infiltrate organizations protesting how it treats killer whales. The CEO now says, no more espionage. We will stick to theme parks. The company has had a rocky time since the 2013 documentary Blackfish, with management shakeups and a bumpy ride for the stock. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech in New York. I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.